some love and a little bit of harmony. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, 10 a.m. till midday in New Zealand, 5 till 7 central in the United States, 6 till 8 eastern, 3 till 5 pacific, and if you're in the Uber Kingdom, 11 till 1 o'clock in the morning. And good old Graham's getting himself some Betty by time now. And we are going to our next guest now. We have Mark Howitt, named after the Howitzer. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are, what it is you do?
I'm a documentary filmmaker, a musician. I'm the founder of the World Public Union. And basically, I'm on something called the March of Freedom right now, where I'm traveling across eastern Canada. I'm walking wherever I can. I've had to take some rides on major highways where it's illegal to walk on. And that was also used to get myself to certain cities where there was seminars set up where I was doing public speaking arrangements. So I did have to get rides to the highway, but I'm almost done that stretch now. When I get to Montreal, I'll be walking from Montreal to the east coast of Canada, to the ocean. And I've talked to thousands and thousands of Canadians, countless Canadians. And I've also been talking with people around the world online for many years now about the problems that we face. And I'm trying to gather people's concerns. And I'm doing a reality show under the same name called The March of Freedom. And I've documented tons of videos, tons of conversations, interviews, just the experience that I've been through. And I've got a lot of people's concerns. And it seems like a lot of them are common. You know what I mean? A lot of people have common problems. They know what's wrong with the world, and the problems that people are saying that they know about are pretty much similar. So that's a good sign, right?
And do you have a website there?
Yes, the website is worldpublicunion.org. That's the only website I have going right now. And I am looking for other people to help with that website, to contribute news articles and stuff like that. So it's very hard to do it all on my own, and especially while I'm away from home, not on the internet a lot and stuff. So,
yeah, we I remember we had a bit of a conversation on Facebook about trying to get you on to some Wi-Fi so you could actually do this interview, and it appears that you're incredibly busy. And indeed, one of my listeners recommended you to come on the show because he feels that you're doing one of the most important things for Canadian sovereignty that anybody's really ever done. And can I ask, what motivated you to get out there, be the documentary filmmaker, and actually start this organization?
Well, the World Public Union started in 2011. It was in between a couple documentaries I made. I came up with the idea, and that was essentially to give the power back to the people, to give the voice back to the people, because politicians and corporations and banks are not listening to the people. They're serving their own agendas. They're doing their own things that do not benefit the public. And when people do gather around the world, you know, even locally, their voices aren't heard. They're falling on deaf ears. And their concerns are not being addressed. So the World Public Union was a way for a group to start locally in the community, so that there is a group of people that are essentially going to keep the government in check when they do pass laws and legislation that don't benefit other people. Then there would be a group locally of activists and like-minded individuals that could actually do something about it and share resources and work together to make a positive difference locally. And then the World Public Union also works together globally. So all these communities, when there is groups there, they can share ideas, strategies, tactics that they've used to benefit their concerns, essentially.
What's your stance on taxation?
Taxation. Well, there's a lot of problems in the world, and all of it seems to boil down to money. That's one thing I've noticed, and a lot of people say that on this journey. They say, I wish I had enough money to pay my rent this month. I wish I had enough money where I didn't have to work two jobs to support my family. I wish I didn't have to pay my taxes this month because the taxes are shorting me out. You know, there's a lot of people that are concerned about monetary issues. And to me, taxes are just a way to get more money out of the people. I know that some of the tax money is used for municipal and community programs like fixing roads and such like and such things like that that are necessary for the community. However, we don't really get records of where this money is going. They usually keep that stuff secret, withheld from the public. You're meant to pay your taxes. And if you did the math, there's billions and billions and billions of dollars that are taken from the people through taxation. And that's what I feel about taxation and money altogether. I think money is the root of all evil. Money is the problems that's causing divisions around the world. There's people starving in third world countries, and there really shouldn't even be a third world country. That term shouldn't even exist. But if one person along this journey brought this to my attention, if there is a third world country, then what is a first world and second world country? Like, it really boggles the mind that there is such division in the world, despite the year that we're living in and the technologies we have and the communication we have. There's the internet, which connects us globally, where ideas are shared very quickly. And it's unbelievable that people have to fight, for example, March Against Monsanto. Millions around the world gathered on a single day to protest genetically modified foods, and they're still creating genetically modified foods. So that is absolute proof that they're not listening to the people's voice.
Yeah, indeed. You know, I led the march for Monsanto down here in New Zealand. I mean, the organizers were just like, okay, we've had our speeches, it's raining, so let's disband. And a whole bunch of people came up to me and said, Vinny, you know, we came here to march. Can you lead us? And it's like, well, yeah. and it's just
A lot of people seem to need a leader, right? They seem to think that they need a leader, which is also boggling my mind, because we should be our own leaders. I think we should take responsibility for ourselves and our own actions. And that's really going to help once people get over that I need a leader mentality. I think people will take control themselves and we'll see a big difference.
Well, it does help if you're the only one with a 100-watt megaphone.
Yes. Your voice would definitely be louder than others with that technology.
Yeah. Well, that was where I came up with the Monsanto opera. He was like, Monsanto, you suck, bro. And we had a lot of fun. And interesting what you're saying there about, people wish they had more money for this. They wish they didn't have to do two jobs. They wish. And that reminds me of a movie called The Island. And one of the clones says, what's God? And he goes, well, when you close your eyes and you want something, you wish for it, God's the guy who ignores you.
Yeah, well, a lot of people do pray. A lot of people think that God's going to save them. And if they think that, they keep thinking about with that mentality, it's the same thing as putting your responsibilities on a leader. You're expecting somebody to save you without doing anything yourself. And that's not how the world works. I know that if I'm going to walk across the street, that takes my decision to move my legs to get me across the street. God's not going to get me there. And that's what we have to realize. Like, I don't find there's anything wrong with religious or believing in God or believing in a creator or a higher spirit or anything like that. To each their own. But there comes a point where you do have to take responsibility for your own actions and realize that the choices you make today reflect the actions that will be seen tomorrow. So,
Speaking of which, I had a concept about what the new taxation scheme should be. And, I was asking people, have you ever been asked to pay your taxes voluntarily? No. So it's forced, right? And so if you're 100% taxed, you know that you're a slave. But what percentage of forced taxation does it take before you think that you're not a slave, And I was like, okay, well, here's a good taxation system, at least I think. A checklist. So you send people a sheet, and it has like a whole bunch of boxes to tick about what they want their tax money to go on. So you have everything on there, healthcare, roading, foreign wars, government limousines, military, militarized police, tasers, mace, etc. And people could just tick what they want their tax money to go through. And I think that if you actually sent that out there, most of the things that we don't like in society, surprisingly enough, won't get any funding anymore. And so they'll just disappear.
Yeah. Well, we don't have that option, actually. They tax us and they use the money for whatever purposes they feel necessary. And oftentimes, it doesn't benefit the people. It benefits corporations who are fracking, who are taking the oil, who are taking minerals out of the earth so that they can make profits off what we need to survive. And essentially, we're working. The money funnels up into a pyramid. The people in the bottom are the ones working. And all that money that we're making and all the resources that we're taking and our jobs and all that stuff funnels to the top of the pyramid. So you have to, it just funnels itself up to the top, to the round table group that's at the top, because we all know there is one. Just look at the Bilderbergers, look at the CFR. There is groups out there that do exist that are designed to shape world policy and decide what's right for us as human beings. And I find a big problem with that. I have a big problem with that personally. And the scary thing is a lot of people think that the Bilderbergers are a hamburger brand. You know, they don't know who they are. They don't know that there is a roundtable group of powerful individuals who are the tops of corporations and media and government. So it's really been good doing this March of Freedom to teach people about things that they weren't aware of to begin with. But it's also good because I'm learning a lot from other people. And that's equally rewarding for me, is to not only spread the truth and make a difference in a local community or with a certain individual, but it's also really rewarding to learn something from other people. And I've learned something from everybody. It doesn't matter who they are. They could have no job. They could be a labor union's worker. All different kinds of people that are teaching me different things just from their perspectives. And I find that's really really good on this journey where I'm actually out there and physically in the public talking to people from all different kinds of communities. I've definitely learned a lot, which is good.
It must be quite empowering.
Well, I just feel like it's the right thing to do. I'm not doing this for my own purposes or anything like that. I'm doing this to spread awareness and to hopefully unite people all around Eastern Canada and all the communities that I go through. So that they are aware of some of the problems. And it's really interesting because when I talk to a lot of people about the problems that we face and a lot of the things that people will call conspiracy material, when I talk to them about it, you can actually see it in their eyes. Their lives change in a moment, which is really awesome. I really think that when I see that, it feels like I'm doing the right thing. And I've seen it, like their eyes just changed. They're like, whoa, like they never thought of life that way, or they never thought of it that way before. So it's the perspective thing, I think. Once they hear a different perspective that they can relate to, it can hopefully give them a bit of topic and subject matter to go home and think about when they get home. And then they would spread that information to their relatives, to their friends, to the people at work when they go to work. So it's that kind of thing, I think, that's really making a difference in what I'm doing. And it makes it all worthwhile. So
now, I've seen a number of videos from. Can you turn your speakers down just a little bit there? A little bit of feedback. I've seen a number of videos that have been posted online, and even things like, say, Jay Leno or whatever, where they go around, they ask very, very, very simple questions just off of random people in the street to measure how dumb they are. And sure enough, their stupidity levels are just off the frickin' scale. And when you watch it, it's two things at the same time. It's really funny to see how stupid people are, but it's also really depressing because you realize what a deep ignorance hole society has gotten itself into, which is why I applaud what you're doing, is because you're not going around trying to prove that everybody's an idiot. You're actually going around and unwittingly proving that there's so many intelligent people out there from which you, even though you know a lot, can still learn off.
Oh, absolutely. I think I try not to use the word sheep because that's a common term that people like to throw around, sheeple. I don't think it's their fault. I think it's the media's fault for not covering these topics and not telling people what's going on. That's the bottom line right there. You have the media being controlled by the government and the corporations, and they're choosing what the people can hear on their news. And a lot of times it's negative, depressing news. And it certainly has nothing to do with problem solving. It's always discussing the problems, but there's no solutions. They don't offer the solutions. They don't even bother to think about it or debate it or discuss it even. And that's, I think, where a lot of people are getting lost and where someone might say somebody else is stupid or something like that because they're not educated enough on these issues. And that, I believe, has to do with the media, definitely. The media needs to start doing the right thing. So if you're in media and you're listening to this and you're watching, please do the right thing. Please start telling people about what's going on and stop protecting governments and corporations and serve the people. Because that's you are people, too. You're working a job. And is your job really worth it? Like, that's what I have to ask them, you know? Are you really doing your job or are you doing somebody else's job or following somebody else's agenda? So it's great that there's independent media like you guys out there covering these topics so that people can get a chance to learn what's going on and hopefully make contacts, connections, and work together and find sources for information on these important subjects.
Yeah, and it's interesting you should mention the word sheeple because I was just thinking about that this morning. You know when you're kind of like you don't know whether or not you're waking up or you're still dreaming sort of thing? Like that's that sort of witching hour real early in the morning. And it's just like, we've got to stop calling the people sheeple, okay? That's one of the words the elite use, okay? Yeah. To call an ordinary person one of the sheeple is like calling a black person the N-word. In my opinion, you know, it's like a form of discrimination against people who, there's so much division everywhere, all the time. You see it wherever you look. You know, they're always talking about this, that, or the other issue to try and divide people, and I'm just not buying it anymore, man. And we all bleed red. And we're all freaking slaves at the end of the day, you know. It's just like if you're not a slave, try going to, and ordering a police officer around at a protest or something like that. He won't follow your orders, even though he's your employee to a large degree, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, come on, just people that need to accept that the New World Order is real and that we're all slaves, okay? And from there, then. That's the realization. It's pretty harsh. It's pretty difficult to deal with. But from there, you can then start solving that problem. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, with Mark Howitt coming to us live from Canada. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yeah, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Mark Howitt, the Howitzer, is my guest. Welcome back, sir. Can we talk about some harsh reality for a moment here? Because very few people get into being an activist to the point where they sacrifice most of the time of their life. Usually without something bad happening to them. I was wondering, did something bad happen to you? Or was it just kind of like an informational thing? It's just kind of like you did your research, you suddenly realized what was going on, and you went about trying to change it.
Yeah, that's essentially what happened, really. I've been making documentaries since 2000.
Well, Mark, we seem to have lost you there.
No audio?
Yeah.
Can you hear it now?
Yep.
Okay.
Sorry,
cool.
Go ahead.
No problem. Yeah, that's basically the gist of it right there. I was doing documentaries since 2009, researching information about global issues, secret societies, global corruption, things that were going on behind closed doors, and how it was affecting humanity. And I was digging deeper and deeper, and I was going deeper into the rabbit hole as a result. And I was learning about all sorts of things. Then I got involved after I was researching and making the documentaries. I got involved locally, doing local activism. When the Occupy movement started, I was actually the person who started the online group to get everybody together for Occupy Sudbury. But after I started that, I kind of backed out of there. I took myself off administration to get other people in there. I did that because I knew that they would probably target me or have me on a list or something like that if I was doing that stuff. But then also March Against Monsanto, I was heavily involved with the local events there and assembling people and getting a good movement going there. in my own community. So I was doing activism and stuff like that. But with the documentaries and all that stuff, people were learning about stuff and they did agree with a lot of things I was putting in the documentaries and films. But there was no change. There was nothing being changed. There was nothing being done about it. And I decided to do this. It was an idea I've had for a little while, actually, but it kind of developed over time. I had time to sit on it and think about different ways to do it. And the reality show aspect only came in like right before I left. And when I left, I didn't tell anybody I was leaving. I didn't even post it on my wall. I didn't tell any of my friends online, nothing like that, because I didn't want anybody, the NSA, let's just say, to be looking at my Facebook messages or emails to say, oh, this guy's leaving, this guy's doing this. I didn't want them to think that. Now, unless they have some sort of technology where they can steal your thoughts from your mind, then that's the only way they would have really known about what I was planning. So
that's bad news for you. There was an article out of the mainstream media about I think the New York police were trialing a machine where they could actually read people's minds out of a van.
Well, it's interesting you say that because there's a doctor in Sudbury, Dr. Michael Persinger, he's been on a lot of films and documentaries. He actually designed the God helmet. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but definitely some crazy technology. And apparently they took it away. He's not allowed to develop that anymore because it was so serious about reading people's minds. And they were essentially communicating with the computer screen with their minds, just their thoughts and moving objects on the screen and stuff like that. So it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I remember a news piece here in New Zealand where they were trialing that technology on, children that were severely disabled, like in wheelchairs and things like that, so they could do their schoolwork just via their thoughts onto the computers and stuff like that. They were doing a trial on it. It was quite amazing. Yeah,
transhumanism is here, as they say. But, when I left on the March of Freedom, like you said, have I ever been stopped or has anybody tried to stop me? The first night I was walking out, a car swerved off the highway. It looked like it was trying to hit me because it definitely came off the road, off the white line that on the side of the road. I seen it veer off, and I heard the tires hitting the rocks on the shoulder of the highway. And when it got past me, it swerved back on the road and kept going. So that was the first time. But other than that, there was also my Facebook. It got taken down for about a week. That was right before I got to North Bay, I believe, or it was in North Bay when it happened. I can't recall exactly right now, but I didn't even do anything. I was I wasn't even mass posting or sending out tons of messages or anything like that. I simply added an administrator to a World Public Union in California because he was interested in becoming an administrator. So when you add an administrator to a group on Facebook, you have to type in your password and all that. And instantly I got a message saying that I was hacked and that my account was removed because for my own safety. And I was trying to get on, but the security protocols that they have where you have to guess people's pictures on there, they're showing cartoon images. They weren't showing real faces. I've documented it all on video. I have the whole experience on video because it is a reality show, and I try to document as much of it as I can. So that was pretty discouraging when they took my Facebook down because I wasn't able to connect with people that I would be going to see, or I couldn't line anything up. I couldn't send messages back to my family. I was lucky that I did start a backup Facebook profile prior to this. So I was using that, but I only had a couple hundred contacts on there. So there was definitely, it was definitely pretty hard to get through that. But I eventually did get through the security protocols and got my account back. And I haven't had any problems online since that I've noticed. But other than that, I'm just talking with people sometimes in the streets. You upset some people. They don't want to hear the truth. They have an agenda. They're part of that gatekeeper society, I guess you could call them. They're part of the local infrastructure that's keeping the control of the people. And one lady was going to hit me with a cane when she was arguing with me that there's no female Freemasons. And I told her to look up Order of the Eastern Star if she didn't believe me. And she refused to accept the truth that there are female Freemasons out there. So she was going to hit me with her cane as a result. And I told her if she wanted to hit me with her cane, she could go ahead. It's her own. If that's what she felt right to do, then go ahead. But before that, she was talking about God and religion and stuff. So, I mean, if she really was religious and really did have God in her heart, she wouldn't be wanting to hit somebody with a cane because he was trying to educate her on something. So
maybe she was a Canaanite.
Yeah. Maybe. You never know, right? But it's interesting, too, just going back to what you said earlier about slaves, how we're all slaves and stuff like that. A lot of people don't believe it. They think that we are free. But if you look back at history to Sumerian time, Canaanites, Babylon, Egypt, all these civilizations had kings and rulers ruling over the people. And the first kings list was documented as the Sumerian king list that could be found in, I believe it's the British Museum. And that's the oldest documented king list where there is a ruler over top of a community ruling, commanding people around. And the people were the blue-collar workers, the people that were keeping that community up. They were holding it up. They were doing the work to make sure that the community was continuing. And all of this under the leadership of a king or a ruler. And if you take a look at today's day and age, it seems very similar. We have politicians now who are supposed to be our representatives because they're representing our ideas and our voices. But we don't have that. They're not listening to the people. They want to continue the pyramid scheme. They want to continue their control over humanity and keep us as slaves. When we're born, our birth certificates have a number on that. That number puts us in the system. It allows us to have health care if needed. It allows us to get a bank account. It allows us to work, to get a social insurance number or security number, depending where you live. So all these systems are designed to keep us down, to keep us contained within the matrix.
Yeah, and not to mention, apparently, if you look up that that shipping number on the birth certificate on the New York Stock Exchange, you'll find out how much you're worth. It's called being livestock.
Yeah, living stock. You're right. And we are living
this
stock.
This is a farm.
Yeah, human farm, human herd, as they call it. We've been herded like cattle, really, and while some parts of the world do have freedom and they do have, you know, they do have the enjoyment of going out without having to worry about being shelled or bombed or killed by a military or a corrupt government. Like in Canada, here it is. We are doing okay in that aspect. We don't have to worry about tanks in the streets and stuff like that, which is good. But at the same time, we're not really free. If we were truly free, then from birth, we wouldn't be put into this system. And we would have access to the basic fundamentals of human rights, really. And if you look at the United Nations Charter of Human Rights, I just actually interviewed on this journey somebody who worked for the United Nations. She was in Toronto, and after I did the interview with her, it was about a 36-minute interview. She told me to destroy the interview. She doesn't want me to publish it. She doesn't want me getting the information out to the people. And that's what I'm dealing with here. A lot of people don't want to be on video to talk about these things. A lot of people that I have talked to, like doctors and teachers, they are willing to come forward, but they realize that their security from their job or the connections they have with the society are at risk just by talking to me about this stuff. And that's
let me see
sad.
If I got this straight. I have information that shows that we're all slaves and that we're all going to be exterminated by a ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery world government. But please don't share that information. Please don't tell people about it.
I know.
Because I know that I'm going to get exterminated, but I want to keep my job until that happens.
Yeah, it's...
Where's your priorities, yo?
I think if everybody blew the whistle, I think we'd be in a better place. Because once one starts, it's a domino effect. We're all going to be aware of what's going on, and that's what it's going to take. Whether you're working for the government or you're working for a bank or you're working for a corporation, we need to come forward with the truth about this stuff in order to advance as a civilization. We need to evolve. And the way the governments and corporations have it now is we're not evolving. There's a wall that's been put up and we can't get past that wall. We can't evolve any higher than what we are now, what some people would call peons or sheep or cattle. That's what we are. And we need to take back the leadership. We have so much potential as human beings to do much more than what we're doing now. And we could still live in a beautiful world where the technology is there, where we are working together in unity, and we could address the problems and actually solve these problems if that were the case. But there's a wall that's been built, and no one's allowed past it. As soon as you cross that wall, you'll be another William Cooper, Michael Hastings, RFK, JFK, MLK. All those names come to mind when I think about people who have stood up for human rights and were destroyed as a result of that, because these people do not want their secrets being released to the public. They do not want us coming together and working together, which is why they've smashed the mind of the human brain. They've They've shattered it into a million pieces, and they've caused divisions as a result. Conservative, liberal, communist, socialist, right, left, black, white, love, hate, all these divisions in the mind are meant to cause us to be separated and against each other. And when you boil it all down, we're all human beings. We're all the same. Like you said, we all bleed. We all require the same necessities for survival on this planet. But when your mind has been shattered like that, you look at other people like they're a threat or they're an enemy, when really we're our own enemies, really, if that's the way it's going to be. Our own decisions and our own thoughts and our own actions essentially is going to be what does cause the division. And if you realize this and you do work together with other people, the division won't be there. It will be unity. We are all one. And that's what I'm trying to promote on this as well.
Yeah. It seems like we're all operating under mind control, and CIA actually found out that repetition is one of the most simplest and most powerful forms of mind control. So if you want to use mind control against the New World Order agenda, speak the truth and speak it frequently and thoroughly all the frickin' time, and constantly reference the New World Order, constantly reference the debt-based slavery system. It's only once we are willing to say the truth as often as we possibly can that the system will be exposed. I mean, the Edward Snowdens and the Bradley Mannings of this world, they said something once, and look at what effect it has. And then they get punished extraordinarily largely for doing so, and imagine what effect that has on anybody else who might want to come out and speak the truth too.
Yeah, that's what's happening. They're using fear tactics. And you're right about the shattering of the mind. The CIA have realized this for quite some time. Dr. Ewan Cameron was doing psychic driving techniques here in Canada in an area where I'm going soon. He was drilling through repetition, where his patients would be sleeping with the headphones on, just drilling messages into their head night after night, and that repetition would cause them to believe certain things or change their viewpoints or change their lives, essentially. And that's what we're seeing on the media. That's what we're seeing on the commercials. That's what we're seeing on the radio, the music that's being played. It's always repetition, repetition, same song, same commercial, just psychic drive. That's what it is. It's psychic driving techniques, for sure.
Yeah, and I see that same thing. It's like, one thing that I really want to do is go to a public meeting where there's hundreds, maybe a thousand people or whatever, and ask you, okay, raise your hand if you believe that you have never been under the influence of mind control of any kind. All right? And all the people that will raise their hand, I go, okay, now everybody else, you know who the mind control victims are.
Yeah. That's helpful, though, right? Those are the people that need help the most, are the ones who think that they're not controlled and they're not slaves and they're not under some form of mind control. It's pure propaganda what's going on. They use propaganda still to this day to instill values and beliefs in the individual, which is meant to cause divisions, really. They want to separate us. And one thing I've noticed, too, is locally on local levels, when there is a bunch of activists that are involved in the community, a lot of times they are against each other. They don't work together because of personal reasons, or they might have had a discrepancy between one or two of them at some point, so that's caused them to divide. When really what they were fighting for in the first place is the fundamental, most important thing that they should be worrying about. And when you do have skilled activists or people that are aware and stuff like that are separated, not working together, that's what they want. That's all part of their agenda. They want us to be divided. That's from Sun Tzu's Art of War, to divide and conquer.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Mark Howitt from Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand, the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated island chained nation. And the radiation's good for the economy because now everybody snapped up a part time job as an energy saver light bulb, and there's enough mercury to sustain their power source as well. And my very special guest is Mark Howitt. Yeah, unfortunately, we've only got one more little segment with you, Mark, and I've really enjoyed this this conversation thus far. I'd like to do it again sometime. If we're actually going to beat this system, what are some of the let's just say I'm a stickler for profound things, you know? I don't like small little details and things like that. You know, I prefer the grandeur and the spectacle, you know, that kind of thing. And I was wondering if you've got any experiences whereby something has happened to you that is just totally amazing, that has actually really made an impression on you and kept you going all these years.
There's lots of things, really. Just learning about this stuff and being shocked myself about what's going on, that's been pretty profound. Just coming to realizations and piecing things together. But on this journey, it's been really good, too, to see people meet each other locally. Like, they two people that never met each other before are listening to the conversation, and they start talking after that. And that's a connection made. That's the unity coming into play. And I think that's what it's going to take, is for the individuals to change their ways themselves from within, and realize what's going on and feel powered rather than powerless, take back the control of their lives and have belief in themselves. Because a lot of people are walking around, they have no belief, and they have no faith that this is ever going to change. They think that the world is doomed. They think that Armageddon is coming, which is all part of the New World Order plan. By the way, they want you to think that the end of the world is coming. They want you to prep and get your guns and become a survivor and be ready to shoot the next person that walks on your property. That's what they want. They don't want us coming together in peace and harmony and unity and changing this from within, really. They don't want us working together. They don't want us lobbying our politicians. They don't want us email bombing our politicians. They don't want anything like that. They want us to be divided. They want us to be against each other. And they want us to think that there is no hope for the human race. They want us to think that Armageddon is coming. The end times are coming. That's all their strategy. They're also playing this whole alien thing right now, where they're saying that there's aliens out there. They have information that they're going to finally release to the public. Well, who put out all this alien information? CIA, military intelligence. And I don't trust anything those guys say publicly anyways. So I think that's all has a part to do with it, too. In my personal opinion, I think we're the aliens. I think we came down here a long time ago looking for another place to live, like we are doing right now, looking for another place out there that would sustain life. And that's how we came here. And you see it on the pyramids. You see it on ancient tablets and scriptures, where it shows somebody coming down to the earth from another area, from a ship or something. You see this all over the pyramids and stuff. But they're telling you it's aliens. But these aliens look exactly like us. They have two legs, two arms, two eyes. They have a head. They look exactly like us. So I think all this alien stuff is just a way to also similar to the religious thing and God and putting your faith in something else and saying, oh, well, the aliens are going to save us. I think that's a big propaganda plot as well. That's just my personal opinion. I mean, I can't prove it, obviously. But it makes sense to me that they found all this ancient technology in the pyramids and all this stuff way back in the day. And that's kind of the theory I came up with along this journey, is with the in regards to the alien thing. So I have a strong belief that they're going to start they're going to keep promoting the alien agenda. And William Cooper was actually exposing this before he was killed. He was exposing that there is an alien agenda and stuff like that, that it will be coming into play. I think he was onto some things there, because at first he was talking about how the aliens are real and how he was working for military intelligence, but then he retracted that at a certain point. So I think he was starting to come on to the same conclusion almost, that there's something, there's an agenda behind all that. And the Roswell crash, all those UFOs and flying saucers we see are actually machinery developed by human beings, by the military industrial complex. Stuff like that. I mean, when you see lights in the sky and stuff like that, we make lights. There's no denying that we have the technology to make a spaceship, because we have space stations right now up in space where people are working jobs up there. So I think we have to really question things that are being told to us by the government, military, CIA, the media, all those things. We really got to question that and figure out what their agenda is. And we could find the truth that way, I think.
My general rule is, If it comes from an official source, assume it's the exact opposite. Yeah. And you'll most likely wind up being correct. So government says comes out and it says, well, we're going to give new health funding or whatever. Or we're going to have universal health care to keep people healthy. Oh, okay, so they must be trying to kill everybody with that health care. Government comes out and says, we're going to implement these measures in order to keep everybody safe. Oh, okay, well, that means that they're probably going to implement all these surveillance measures and everything to keep us enslaved. You know, and so on and so forth. That's the general rule, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems like it. I made a couple documentaries. One is called The James Holmes Conspiracy, which many people have watched. It's probably the most popular film I've made. I also made Sandy Hook, the documentary. And what happened there was when I seen those things happen, when I seen those events happen, I was on the internet and trying to save as many of the news reports as I could from early on. Because once a story like that breaks, the media just flocks to the source to try to get the scoop, to try to get the first story, to try to make a breakthrough on the case or on the story. And afterwards, you'll see the same videos get deleted, get suppressed, the story changes. And then you start seeing the story that the media wants you to go. They'll lead you along the path they want you to believe in. And then it becomes mainstream media saying the same story on all programs, on all stations. But when something like that happens, at the first time it happens, like right after it happens, is the most important time to be watching what's going on, because you'll eventually, you'll most likely find the truth in that time period. Because afterwards, it's like you said, they change the story, or they tell you what they want you to know about it. And that's, you have Project Mockingbird from the CIA, where they've infiltrated the media. You got Anderson Cooper, who was trained and bred by the CIA, working on CNN right now, who's telling everybody what's going on, and they're trying to deal with more taboo issues like the cannabis episode. I've been told about it along this journey, that they recently discussed cannabinoids curing cancer and other illnesses. I mean, that's cool that they're talking about that. They do have an agenda there, and I don't think they actually said that it cures it or it absolutely cures it or anything, but we all know, if you've watched Rick Simpson's Run from the Cure, or you've watched Cancer, the Forbidden Cures, that documentary with Renee Case, Huxley Therapy, Gerson treatment, there is tons of cures out there for these diseases, but they're holding them back so that they can hold these fundraisers like the Run for the Cure, cancer, breast cancer awareness. All this stuff is massive, massive income being generated for the medical industry and whoever's putting on these programs. So they have the cures, but they're not giving it to us because they want us to be sick. They want to make profits from that. And that's what I see happening.
Mark, you just reminded me, in the springtime in New Zealand, we have all these daffodils sprouting up all over the place. And the Cancer Society of New Zealand has this day that they call Daffodil Day, where they've got all these volunteers out there giving people daffodils in exchange for donations, which they give to the major medical pharmaceutical companies who just promote chemotherapy, which has a 97% death rate.
Yep. Yeah,
I want to go out on Daffodil Day and start talking to these collectors and just say, do you know what part of a plan and scheme that you're actually in? And see what their reactions are, you know, get it all on camera.
That's a good idea.
We really got to push back against this this cancer industry and let people know that it really is an industry, and it's not designed to heal you. It's designed to kill you and, more importantly, drain any wealth that you manage to accumulate during your life.
Absolutely. That's what's going on. And I'm aware of it. You're aware of it. A lot of people are becoming more aware of this, which is good, because that's what it's going to take, is awareness so that we can address these issues. We have a sick care system. It's not a healthcare system. They only care if you're sick, and they can't cure themselves out of business, which is what's happening. If they did release the cure, they would go out of business, and they don't want that. It's a massive, massive industry. Cancer alone is a massive industry. I mean, I've talked to lots of people on this journey so far that have cured themselves of cancer using cannabinoids and other alternative, changing their diet, stuff like that. They just, massive turnaround rate when that happens. Once you learn the truth, the truth will set you free. And that's what I think is really important here, is the truth. just knowing about the propaganda and knowing about all the fuzziness and the static that they're throwing your way to dismantle your thoughts or whatever they're trying to do there. The truth is always the most important thing, and you got to like look at people that are actually curing themselves or that have cured themselves, the success stories, because you're right. The chemotherapy and the surgery and all these old methods of getting rid of cancer are outdated. We do have cures for these illnesses, and they should be released to the public, because we're not going to get better if they're not going to release the cure. And another thing is cannabis is illegal in most parts of the world. So if you get caught with marijuana, you get arrested, essentially, which is pretty sad that this amazing miracle plant is being suppressed all over the world, because they know, and they've known all along that it cures this stuff. They don't want you to know about it. They don't want to tell you about it.
It's illegal to be cured of cancer.
Yeah.
Is that not the epitome of what's wrong with society?
Absolutely.
Mark, thank you very much for coming on the show with me today. We've got about 10 seconds left. Quickly rattle off your website and then we're going to go.
Yeah, it's worldpublicunion.org. And if you want to get involved, just send over an email. And I want to show my shirt here. Right here. Some crimes can put you in jail, while others can put you in government.